is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5.
Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible, one book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. Sherry will also serve you Mystery Moment, Scott's Stuff, and an anointed prayer for healing. And now, here is Sherry Medlock.
God bless you. Thank you, Mr. Announcer Scott Merson, and welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Please open your King James Bibles to Genesis chapter 30, verse 1, where we left off last time. Genesis chapter 30, verse 1. Before we begin, I want to invite the entire United States of America to join me on this program, same time, Trumpet of Truth, on Saturday, October 12th, for America's Day of Repentance. Wherever you are throughout the land, we're red, white, and blue, and we're going to pray and get this country back to Jesus and back to the Bible through prayer.
Amen.
America's Day of Repentance, October 12th, Trumpet of Truth, same time, same station. And now Genesis chapter 30, verse 1. Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac begat Jacob. And Jacob would have 12 sons. They're called the 12 patriarchs, the heads of the 12 tribes of Israel. Look around you in this room or out there in radio land or internet, and somebody you see will be a descendant of one of those tribes. Remember that God had chosen Jacob, and through his lineage would come the Messiah. Well, Jacob had two wives. He didn't mean to have but one, but his uncle Laban tricked him to marrying Leah, so he had Leah and he had Rachel. But Rachel's womb was closed, and that was Jacob's favorite wife, his loved wife. So Leah, last time, bore him the first four of the patriarchs. The firstborn was Reuben, don't forget him, then Simeon, then Levi, and then Judah. Now, Levi is the priesthood. That is the tribe, even to this day and always will be, that's supposed to declare God's word and teach God's word and also direct the sacred music. Judah is the king line, and we know that Jesus is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he came through the tribe of Judah by Mary's father, Heli, but Jesus is also our high priest of the tribe of Levi by Mary's mother. Okay, now there are going to be 12 of these, and they're important because 12 is the number of God's supernatural government. Just like in your body, nobody ever says to you, what a beautiful liver you have, right? But they say, I love your face or I love your hair, but never your liver, and yet your liver is very important. As we study the Bible, we find that each one of these 12 sons, and they're not all born yet in our story, has a unique talent, a unique personality, and that's God's order. Just like you're a member of the body of Christ, each of us has our place to be, fitly joined together, everybody in their right place, and we work together. Okay, now Rachel is upset because she does not have a child.
And when Rachel saw that she bare Jacob no children, Rachel envied her sister, and said to Jacob, give me children, or else I die. Verse 2, and Jacob's anger was kindled against Rachel. And he said, am I in God's stead, who withheld from thee the fruit of the womb?
Jacob says, I'm not God. You need to talk to God about this, my beloved Rachel.
Verse 3, and she said, behold my maid Bilhah, go in unto her, and she shall bear upon my knees, that I also may have children by her.
Okay, now she had a handmaiden, Bilhah. Now, I know this is difficult for us to get our brain around, but that was the custom then. A woman who did not have children could use her handmaid and give her handmaid to her husband, and then the child was considered her. So the woman was called a concubine, the handmaidens, that's a secondary wife. So it really was a legitimate marriage. And at that time, men had more wives. Quite frankly, it helped the women because they had no way to make a living unless a man took care of them.
Verse 4, and she gave to him Bilhah, her handmaid, to wife. And Jacob went in unto her.
Did you notice Jacob didn't argue?
Verse 5, and Bilhah conceived and bare Jacob a son. 6, and Rachel said, God hath judged me, and also hath heard my voice, and hath given me a son, and called therefore also his name Dan.
Now, Dan means judge. You've heard of those good Danish things you eat there? The tribe of Dan would be the type that God has given the talent to set things in order. We're talking about righteous judges, not judge to say someone's going to heaven or hell, but like a good Christian judge on a Supreme Court.
Verse 7. And Bilhah, Rachel's maid, conceived again.
My goodness, let's try that again.
And bare Jacob a second son. Verse 8, and Rachel said, with great wrestlings have I wrestled with my sister.
What she had done, Leah already had 4, her sister. And so Rachel says, I'm trying to catch up with Leah. So now she's going to have 2 by Bilhah, her handmaid, and she's catching up.
And I have prevailed. And she called his name Naphtali.
Naphtali means wrestling. Know people who are always wrestling, especially wrestling with the devil?
Verse 9. And when Leah saw that she had left bearing, she took Zilpah, her maid, and gave her Jacob to wife.
Not to be outdone. She had 4, but she's not going to let Rachel outdo her. Okay, Jacob, here's your another wife, Zilpah.
And Zilpah, Leah's maid, bare Jacob a son.
See, he didn't argue there either.
Verse 11, and Leah said, a troop cometh.
A troop cometh. What Leah was saying, I'm going to have so many children, it's like an army.
And she called his name Gad.
Gad means a troop. The Bible says, I have leaped over a wall. I have run through a troop. That's the way God's people are. We go through a troop of devils and demons and storms, but we always come out. Having done all, we stand.
Amen.
And Zilpah, Leah's maid, bare Jacob a second son.
Here comes Zilpah again.
13. And Leah said, happy am I, for the daughters will call me blessed. And she called his name Asher.
Asher means happy. These are the happy campers.
14. And Reuben went in the days of harvest and found mandrakes in the field. And he brought them unto his mother Leah.
Okay, now Reuben is the oldest son. Now, what is a mandrake? He goes in the field, he picks some mandrakes and brings them to the mother. Now, that ought to get your attention. Reuben is going to come back up in our story later on. Why would the firstborn go and get mandrakes and give them to his mother? What is a mandrake? The Arabs call it Satan's apple. It has a hallucinatory effect. And the myth was that it would cure sterility, and it's passionate. It inspires one to have great passion. Reuben's going to give this to his mother. Now watch that about Reuben, because it's going to come back up. He's a little bit too inquisitive in all of this sexuality going around, but he gives the mandrakes to Leah.
And Rachel said unto Leah, give thee, I pray, of thy son's mandrakes.
Rachel wants them because maybe it'll cure her, you know, not being able to have a baby. Maybe it'll help her.
Verse 15. And she said to her, is it a small matter that thou hast taken my husband, and wouldst thou take away all my son's mandrakes also?
Leah is to be pitied. She was very jealous of Rachel because she knew Jacob loved Rachel. But she says, you stole my husband. Of course, that's not true. Now you want my mandrakes. You want to take these so you can go and have a passionate night with my husband? No, sirree.
And Rachel said, therefore shall he lie with thee tonight for thy son's mandrakes.
So you can tell Rachel is her dad Laban's daughter. Remember, Laban is kind of a wheeler dealer and kind of a crook. So Rachel says, I tell you what, tonight's my night to be with Jacob. I'll sell you, Jacob, tonight if you give me the mandrakes. So she sells her night with her own husband to Leah, who is also Jacob's wife, for the mandrakes.
16.
They say all's fair in love and war.
Yeah.
And Jacob came out of the field.
Now look at Jacob. He goes out there. He has made Uncle Laban very, very rich. Uncle Laban had almost no sheep, and he's multiplied. They got thousands of them. He works all day for Laban. He comes in. He's got two concubines, secondary wives. He's got Leah, and he's got Rachel. I wonder if they had an appointment book. It was Rachel's night, and here comes Leah. Wait a minute. It's my night.
And Leah went out to meet him. Thou must come in unto me, for surely I have hired thee with my son's mandrakes.
I have bought you tonight, Jacob. Kind of like prostitution, don't you think?
And he lay with her that night.
He didn't object.
17. And God hearkened unto Leah, and she conceived, and bare Jacob a fifth son. And Leah said, God hath given me my hire, because I have given my maiden to my husband. And she called his name Issachar.
Issachar, his name means to hire. Sometimes he hires himself out, and sometimes he hires others.
19. And Leah conceived again, and bare Jacob the sixth son. And Leah said, God hath endowed me with a great dowry. Now will my husband dwell with me, because I have borne him six sons. And she called his name Zebulun.
Zebulun means dwelling. Now you'll be interested to know that the Christian Dutch people today are the tribe of Zebulun. You've heard of the Dutch Orthodox Reform? Robert Schuller created that church. Okay, that's Zebulun.
Verse 21. She bore a daughter and called her name Dinah.
Dinah. Okay, here's a daughter. They didn't say much about her. She will come back up in the story.
22. And God remembered Rachel. And God hearkened to her and opened her womb.
Now, God's promised you something, and you knew he meant it. It's been a long time. It looks like it's never coming. As they say, delay does not mean denial. God has an appointment book too, and at the appointed time, his promise will come true in your life if you don't give up, if you will continually love him and serve him and do the very best you can with what you have where you are for Jesus' sake today.
And she conceived and bare a son, and she said, God hath taken away my reproach. And she called his name Joseph.
Joseph's name means addeth, A-D-D-E-T-H.
And she said, the Lord shall add to me another son.
And that will be true. She will have one more son, and that'll come up in the story. It's interesting, if only Rachel had known this one son now that she's had. This is the 11th of the patriarchs. And all those others, six of Leah and two by each handmaid concubine, her son of all of these will be a type of the Savior. For it will be this Joseph that God will use to save that nation so the Messiah, Jesus, the real Savior, can come through. And that story is coming up in Genesis. So you see, it's not quantity that counts, it's quality.
Amen.
25. And it came to pass when Rachel had borne Joseph, that Jacob said unto Laban, send me away, that I may go into mine own place, unto my country. Verse 26.
Now, when Rachel had the child, Jacob realized he had a complete family. And he wants now to go back to grandfather Abraham's country and his mother Rebekah and dad Isaac, from whence he came. Don't forget, He was very wealthy there. His dad, Isaac, was very wealthy. He only left because his brother Esau wanted to kill him. Jacob has been working like a hired servant, like the prodigal son for Uncle Laban. He's made Laban rich. Now he wants to take his wives and children, and he wants to go back and to his own family.
Give me my wives and my children, for whom I have served thee, and let me go. For thou knowest my service, which I have done thee.
You know how I've worked for you.
Verse 27, and Laban said unto him, I pray thee, if I have found favor in thine eyes, tarry.
Now, of course, Uncle Laban doesn't want him to go. Jacob is the goose that laid the golden egg. He's made Uncle Laban very, very rich. And Laban, of course, loves his two daughters, Leah and Rachel, and all the grandchildren. So he says, oh, son-in-law, we just love you so much. Can't you stay a little while longer? Now, he had already made Jacob work 7 years for Leah. Jacob didn't mean to. That was a trick. And 7 years for Rachel. Now he wants him to stay and work some more.
For I have learned by experience that the Lord hath blessed me for thy sake.
At least Laban recognized that the reason Laban was blessed because God was blessing Jacob.
28. And he...
Do you know that when you're right with God, that wherever you go, people around you are going to be blessed? They're going to find their businesses start perking up, and they get a little bit more money. They get a little bit more peace. They get a little bit more joy. They get new opportunities. Oh, what a light you can be.
Then appoint me thy wages, and I will give it.
So Uncle Laban says, you just tell me what I could pay you, and you just stay. Now, Jacob's not going to walk into that trap. Because we're going to find out that Uncle Laban has already cheated Jacob of his wages. He changed them 10 times, so Jacob can't trust Uncle Laban. Uncle Laban is a crook.
29. And he said unto him, thou knowest how I have served thee, and how thy cattle was with me, for it was little.
He says, Uncle Laban, you remember when I first came here and got to the well? Your daughter Rachel brought all of your sheep. That little girl could take care of all of the sheep. You had such a few small sheep. Now, look, he says it's multiplied.
That thou hadest before I came, and it is now increased unto a multitude.
The Bible says, do not despise small beginnings. No matter how small it is, wherever God's put you, give it all you've got for God. Again, I repeat, I will do the best I can with what I have, where I am, for Jesus' sake today.
Amen.
King David, who came through that king line, Judah, was on the backside there taking care of a few small sheep. And look, we all love King David today, and he became the king of Israel. So do not despise small beginnings. But he says, Uncle Laban, you were very poor when I came here. Now you're rich.
And the Lord hath blessed thee since my coming. And now, when shall I provide for mine own house also?
So Jacob says, but it's time now. I've given this all to you. I need to have something to take care of my family.
And he said, what shall I give thee? And Jacob said, thou shalt not give me anything.
He doesn't trust Uncle Laban. No need to ask him, because Uncle Laban's not going to keep his promise.
If thou would do this thing for me, I would again keep and feed thy flock. Verse 30.
Okay, I'll stay a little while longer. Here's the deal, says Jacob. Actually, he's going to stay 6 more years.
I will pass through all thy flock today, removing from thence all the speckled and spotted cattle, and all the brown cattle among the sheep, and the spotted and speckled among the goats, and of such shall be my hire.
Here's what I want to do. I'm going to go through all of your flock. I mean, you've got a lot. And I'm going to get the speckled and the spotted and the grizzled, and they'll be mine, the lambs and the sheep and the goats and so forth. Now, This is a great deal, bargain for Uncle Laban, because most sheep are white, aren't they? Yeah. Most goats are white. So Jacob is taking the lesser there. You know, we do a Passover play in here, Resurrection Day, and we do a Christmas play. I have sheep costumes. They're always white. They're not speckled.
33. So shall my righteousness answer me in time to come. And it shall come for my hire before thy face.
So this is my hire that you would give me out of all of your flock, the speckled, in other words, the ones you don't want. There's nothing wrong with speckled and spotted sheep and lambs. It's just that most of them are white. So he's willing to take a few. Jacob is.
Everyone that is not speckled and spotted among the goats and brown among the sheep, that shall be counted stolen with me.
So when it comes time for me to leave, Uncle Laban, if you see that I'm taking any one of sheep or goats or anything that's white, you could say Jacob stole those. But of course, Jacob does not steal, and Laban knows that. This is a good deal for Uncle Laban, but it's a start. It's a starter herd for Jacob.
34, and Laban said, behold, I would it be according to thy word.
Good deal, says Laban. Now watch, Laban.
Verse 35, and he removed that day the he-goats that were streaked and spotted, and all the she-goats that were speckled and spotted, and everyone that had some white in it, and all the brown among the sheep, and gave them into the hands of his sons.
Now that was Laban. Laban had some sons. He tries to beat Jacob to the punch, and he goes in all of the herd and tries to round up all the speckled and spotted he's and she's, and he says, my sons, you take care of these. Get these away from Jacob. Laban knows that Jacob knows how to breed animals. He's got a gift of animal husbandry, and he doesn't want Jacob to increase. He doesn't even want him to have those. Now I'm going to tell you, he did not get all of the speckled he-goats. He did not get all of the speckled he-rams, but he got a lot.
36. And he set 3 days' journey between himself and Jacob.
So Laban gets out of Dodge. So in other words, before Jacob finds out that he's already removed the speckled and the spotted, almost all of them, what's Jacob going to do? He'll see.
And Jacob fed the rest of Laban's flocks.
And that's a lot. I mean, all kinds of flock, acres of them.
Verse 37. And Jacob took unto him rods of green poplar, and of the hazel and chestnut tree, and filled white streaks in them, and made the white appear which was in the rods.
What does that mean? It means he sharpened them. He took the wood from the poplar, from the chestnut tree. This is animal husbandry. He's building a fence. He's sharpening them. Haven't you ever peeled something like that and the green came off and you saw it white? And he sharpens it so he can drive it down into the ground. He's going to make a fence because he's going to use some God-given talent, animal husbandry, select breeding, so he can have some spotted and speckled animals.
And he set the rods which he had peeled before the flocks in the gutters in the watering troughs.
Okay, he makes a little fence. Now remember, he's going to get all of Laban's. It's just multitudes. He's making a little chute there. He's building a fence, a narrow fence on either side, and he sharpened it. That's what that means. And they have to walk in that fence, and they have to go down that chute. There's the watering trough. Animals go for the water. But guess what Jacob's going to have down there in the gutter? He's already rounded up a he-goat and a he-ram, and they're both speckled and spotted. Woo! Mm-hmm. And it's time, it's everybody's in heat in animal kingdom.
When the flocks came to drink, that they should conceive when they came to drink.
See, there you go. They do what does naturally there. They go down, here come all the female white sheep and goats, and they go down there, and there's this good-looking he-goat and he-ram, and wow, bam, you do what comes naturally. Right there in the water, the gutter. Boy, is Jacob smart. God is smart.
39, and the flocks conceived before the rods and brought forth cattle ring-streaked, speckled, and spotted.
See, this was so astute, Laban was trying to steal all of those, but when you mix the spotted he-goats and the speckled he-rams, and you get the white ewe lambs, the lamb, the women, the sheep, the she of the other, you don't get a pure white, you get speckles. So see how Jacob's increasing? This is animal husbandry.
Verse 40, and Jacob did separate the lambs and set the flocks toward all the range street.
He picks out all the little newborn babies, and when they're speckled and spotted, he puts them on his side.
And all the brown of the flock of Laban, and he put his own flock by themselves.
But he's very fair.
And put them not to Laban's cattle.
See, he's got to look out for himself, because, you know, we got Laban's sons there, too, watching all of this.
41, it came to pass, whensoever the stronger cattle did conceive, that Jacob lay the rods before the eyes of the cattle in the gutters.
Okay, when he would send them down that little chute to get the water and have the speckled he-goats and he-rams and so forth, he would only let the healthiest ones go down. If he saw a feeble one, it's going to tell you in a moment that he would take the feeble out and give that to Laban. I mean, remember that Laban tried to steal everything from him, so he's just using wisdom.
That they might conceive among the rods. 42. But when the cattle were feeble, he put them not in. So the feebler were Laban's and the stronger Jacob's.
Look at God.
And the man increased exceedingly and had much cattle, and maidservants and men servants and camels and asses.
It's so beautiful to see restitution there, because his dad Isaac and his grandfather Abraham were very wealthy, and he left all of that, and he'd been working as a hired servant in the field for Uncle Laban. See, you and I come from God. He's called us kings and priests unto him, and yet we are down here in this field. Jesus says the field is the world, and we're working, and we say, how can I serve you? What can I do for you? Amen. How can I help you? Let me give to you. What do you need? Here am I. I will help you. Amen. And all the while, we're the king's kids.
Genesis chapter 31, verse 1. And he heard the words of Laban's sons, saying,
Laban's sons are gonna grumble. Have you ever noticed the grumblers of the world? They're the people who do nothing. And when they see the rest of us moving and shaking things for the kingdom of God, they sit and stare and grumble and criticize. They don't do anything. No. They just grumble. Boring.
Jacob hath taken away all that was our father's.
That's not true. Jacob made his father wealthy.
And of that which was of our father hath he gotten all this glory.
Lazy bums, why weren't they doing some animal husbandry?
Verse 2, and Jacob beheld the countenance of Laban, and behold, it was not towards him as before.
Always before, since Jacob was Laban's goose that laid the golden egg, he was just smiling away. You're doing a good job there, son-in-law. You're making me rich. You're giving me everything. Oh, you're just good. We're so glad to have you. I'm so glad you married my daughters. But not now. This Laban, who has cheated and lied and stolen from Jacob, do you suppose there was murder in his eyes? One thing about God's chosen, we can sense how a person feels. We won't stay in the same room or work with somebody who's hating us as we work. Jacob can't take this.
Yep, amen.
Verse 3, and the Lord said unto Jacob.
Whoa, here comes God. Man's extremity is God's opportunity.
Return unto the land of thy fathers, and unto thy kindred, and I will be with thee.
Now that's a deal. That's a deal. God comes right in, and he's going to tell us next week, he's going to give Jacob a dream. He's going to remind Jacob of Jacob's stone, which we taught. That's such a beautiful story. It has to do with you and how he called the stone Bethel. So you see, it looks pretty bad for Jacob. how in the world is he going to get away from Uncle Laban? But God is with him. And when God is for you, who can be against you?
Yeah, God amen. Bless you. I amen. Hope you amen.
Thank you. We'll begin right there next time. But right now, it's time for Mystery Moment, questions and answers to help you understand the mystery of God. I want to introduce to you the owner of the produce place in Suntree, Florida, man of God, my twin friend, Scott Merson. How are you, Scott?
I'm doing very good, Miss Sherry. We got some good questions today.
Okay, great.
Okay, our first question. Is there a Bible verse to believe in times of storms?
Absolutely. Psalm 107, verse 29. He maketh the storm a calm, the waves thereof are still. Let's all say, I agree in Jesus' name.
I agree in Jesus' name.
For those of you on internet and radio, by the time you hear this, hopefully we'll all have survived that old storm, Dorian.
Yeah,
okay, next question.
Okay, yeah, our next question. How could Jacob be a man of God and hate Leah?
Well, the Bible says hate Leah. The hate doesn't mean like you bad. It means love less. He loved Rachel. That was, in other words, that was the woman he worked for, and Laban tricked him. But he couldn't have hated Leah too much. It means love less. He loved Rachel more, of course. But he had six children by her, so he must have liked her pretty well. David left his stuff in the cart. Ezekiel put his stuff in the bag. What is Scott's stuff?
Things are being exposed, made manifest by his hand. Awake, discern, and redeem the time. His judgments are sure and will be withheld no longer. The weighted plumb line has been dropped deep upon the earth. Ephesians 5:13-16.
Thank you, Scott. That is so great. Thank you so much. We appreciate that. Now, I'm going to pray for those of you who are sick, but just before we do, if any of you are not saved, let's pray the prayer of salvation and get you saved. If you will pray this and mean it, God will save you right now. Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I ask forgiveness for all my sins.
I ask forgiveness for all my sins.
Wash them away with the blood of Jesus.
Wash them away with the blood of Jesus.
Fill me and lead me by the Holy Spirit.
Fill me and lead me by the Holy Spirit.
Grow me in the Word.
Grow me in the Word.
And use me.
And use me.
To enlarge the kingdom of Jesus Christ.
To enlarge the kingdom of Jesus Christ.
Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Now, if you prayed that and meant it, Scott's going to give you my telephone number in a little while. I invite you to call and leave that message on my voicemail. Now, let me pray for those of you who are sick. Father, in the name and the power of Jesus, I ask that the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in your wings. And I ask that from the top of the head to the soles of the feet, the laser beams of Jesus Christ's healing virtue flow into the bloodstream, into the cells. Let the queasiness be gone. Let the uneasiness be gone. And let the stomach settle down. Let the revitalization, rejuvenation come into the body. Strength and vitality. Divine order in the body. In the name of Jesus, peace be healed, all distress be gone, wholeness in the name of Jesus. We give you praise. You sent your word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Thank you, Father. Amen. With your stripes, we are healed.
We are healed.
Now, for those of you who are healed, then you want to make sure you also call and let me know that. Nothing is given to you to keep. So you want to make sure that you go and tell all these beautiful truths that you are learning. Jesus' name is called the Word of God, Revelation 19:13. And Jesus said in John 17:17, thy word is truth. I want to give a shout out to my twin friend Scott Merson for his beautiful Scott stuff and for being our announcer.
Oh, thank
and
you,
blessings to his beautiful family. And for those of you who are listening. I just want to say that I love you and I thank you for listening. This is your host, Sherry Medlock. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Now I can't wait until next time when you and I get together as the family of God and we hear the joyful sound of
the trumpet of truth.
Thank you for listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. Sherry invites you to call her for prayer at 321-632-4631. Again, 321-632-4631. We can't wait until next week at the same time when you join us and hear the joyful sound of the Trumpet of Truth.
becomes the sun. You'll wipe away the tears from every eye, and songs of praise to you will be our only cry.
You're listening to WMIE, today's Modern Worship, 91.5 FM.
Yeah. cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross, where the dearest and best for the world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown.
So despised by the world, has a wondrous attraction for me. For the dear Lamb of God left his glory above to bear it to dark Calvary.
To the
shine. You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
The Holy Spirit, when it gets linked up with your human spirit, is to ignite the soul.
Dr. Tony Evans says part of the Spirit's job is to make the intangible God tangible. But how tangible the Spirit can make him is up to us.
It is your relationship to the Holy Spirit that determines how much of God you experience today.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. When a rocket shoots up into the sky, you know there's something powerful going on inside of it. Today, Dr. Evans explains the same is true when a believer is lit up by the fire of revival. Let's join him as he explains.
In the scripture of Matthew 3, we're introduced to John the Baptizer, John the Baptist. We're familiar with John, the relative of Jesus Christ, because he has been given to us as one who is the fulfillment of a prediction. Between the end of the Old Testament and the beginning of the New Testament, there were 400 years where God was not talking. 400 silent years, the intertestamental period, the time between the conclusion of the old and the beginning of the new. There were 400 years where nothing was being said. There was no new information from God. Heaven was quiet. All they had was the Old Testament, because heaven was not giving any new information. For 400 years, stuff was silent. Then came the prediction of Messiah, that God was going to enter history himself, Emmanuel, God with us, that God was going to bring heaven down to earth and there would be a visitation. Heaven would come down into history. Eternity would come down into time. And God himself would appear on the scene. In order to get God's people ready for this visitation, a man named John was called on. A relative of Jesus Christ, 6 months older than he was, to fulfill a prophecy. You see, in Malachi chapter 3, God says, I'm going to send my messenger to get you ready for my visitation. In Malachi chapter 4, the last three verses, he says, and Elijah shall return. And when Elijah returns, he's going to restore all things and he's going to call people back to God. In Luke chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, it says, and John the Baptist would come in the spirit and power of Elijah. So John the Baptist is a fulfillment of a prophecy in the Old Testament that before the visitation hit, God was going to send somebody.